Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss. Dustin running our stream from another part of the city at the moment. And of course, Country over there in the production studio helping us out tonight. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Pump day.
Yeah.
Pump day.
Yeah.
Pump day.
Wednesday is the best day of the week.
Wednesday is the best day of the week, and that's because we get to talk to you guys all about poker for an entire hour. Actually, this is a really special year for you guys at your card room, and I know that the World Poker Tour has been highlighting an anniversary that they've had with you guys. I believe it's the 10-year anniversary celebration of December between Best Bet and the World Poker Tour, which is pretty spectacular and fascinating. And it's really fun to kind of look back and reflect on all of the different things that have happened with the World Poker Tour, the way that they have grown, the way that Best Bet has grown. I mean, prior to them, now let's go back, like World Poker Tour has been involved with Best Bet before they were Best Bet. They were involved with Best Bet when it was still just Jacksonville Greyhound and Racing.
That's right. Our first tournament was at the Orange Park location before Best Bet. We were just, Jack's Poker, Jacksonville Greyhound Racing and Poker.
Which is pretty remarkable when you think about the transformations and everything that everybody has done, right? Like, you guys have been partnered together. You've had tournaments in Orange Park with the World Poker Tour. And then the first televised event that happened with Best Bet would have been in Jacksonville. And I don't remember what year that was. Did you guys do a televised event right out of the gate?
It was 2011. Yeah, we opened up in March and we had a WPT. We had one of our biggest events ever a month after we opened the brand new facility.
That's crazy. So, but it's been an exciting ride. And we know that, you know, we are very close to the World Poker Tour family. And this year was a very sad year for the World Poker Tour as we lost one of the most incredible members of our family, Mike Sexton. But he was, you know, he was just such a pioneer in the poker industry and in the poker world, not just for World Poker Tour, but for poker just as a whole, for the industry, for the community, as a player, as an executive, and all of those things. So, you know, we're all feeling that right now and thinking of him. But we wanted to play you guys some fun interviews that we had with World Poker Tour in honor of our 10-year tenureship with them. So I hope that you enjoy these interviews. I believe we have one from Mike Sexton, of course. Lynn Gilmartin?
It's Lynn Gilmartin, Vince Van Patten, and Tony Dunst from 2019.
From 2019.
So in 2020... Yeah, you know.
2020 was tough, and I, you know, by the time they had a World Poker Tour event, this show has pretty much already taken place. So, with that being said, you guys hang on to that. We're going to run through some interviews, and then, of course, we have some giveaways that we'll do towards the end of the program. That 1010XL main event has been scheduled. It will be happening January 13th, so now is the time to start giving out seats so you can put it on your calendar. Be prepared. It's $110 buy-in. Remember, there will be 5 bounties, so if you knock any of those bounties out, you get your money back on the spot. You're free rolling the tournament. The last tournament that we had about 275 players, which I believe was a record, and first place was just over 5,000. So this is a tournament. You do not want to miss. Again, remember, January 13th, we're giving away a seat later in the program. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Johnny Fantastic, talking all things poker. We have a very special guest joining us. It's the one and only World Poker Tour ankle for World Poker Tour anchor. Easy for me to say. For Fox Sports, it's the one and only beautiful and very talented Lynn Gilmartin. So she joins us on the show. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Everybody's very excited to hear about you and kind of what you've done over the years and where you're going and new things that are happening. I saw some stuff about some new films coming out that you've been a part of. We've had some questions come in, questions wanting to know whether or not you're single, if you're on the market, off the market, of course.
That's the biggest question.
That's the biggest question coming in from the gentleman. But we'll get to all of those. Of course, it looks like you've been with World Poker Tour for about 6 years now. And why don't you give us a little bit, kind of tell us about how you stepped into this role and where you see it going and kind of what's happening in your life right now.
Sure. Well, I was working as a reporter on Poker News for about 3 or 4 years before I got this job with the World Poker Tour. So I've been following the poker circuit for 10 years now. And that's kind of how I found myself now with the World Poker Tour, which has just been a dream. And it still actually blows my mind when I say that it's been 6 years. I can't believe it because I still feel almost like I've just started. You know, I'm next to like Vince, who's been around for 18 years. So I still feel like a new kid on the block sometimes. I work as an anchor on WPT, and I get to travel all the time to incredible events like what we have there at Best Bet Jacksonville. And on the side, as you said, I do some acting, so I've got some films coming up there in the works. Just juggling a bunch of exciting things. I just like to, chase crazy dreams.
That's good. We like that. Chasing crazy dreams is what it's all about. Tell us a little bit about, because I know everybody, for most people here, they're pretty familiar with your role with the World Poker Tour, and you do a great job, and everybody, you know, appreciates what you do, and you bring a lot
Thank
to the
you.
Table, and it's really wonderful. And seeing you work with Mike Sexton and Vince Van Patten in the past, and now it's Tony Dunston, Vince Van Patten, that Mike Sexton has moved along. But, you know, it's really great to kind of see that. But in your off time, or do you have a lot of off time, what does that look like? Like, what do you enjoy doing, and what will we find you doing on a standard day when you're not, rolling in all the World Poker Tour stuff?
Sitting on my couch, recovering, getting ready. No, I'm kidding. I wish. Although that is what I'm doing right now, and I'm loving it because it has been a huge month. I do get downtime in between tour stops, but I'm based in LA, and my boyfriend, to answer the question that's coming, he lives in Mexico City, and then my family's all in Australia. So if I'm not traveling for a poker tournament, then I'm also traveling for life as well, like to go and visit my family. So I'm kind of always on the go, which I love. I don't think I'll ever stop traveling. There is no average day in which is cool, but then sometimes I do crave a routine. So this week is my recovery week at the moment, and I'm just basically at home in LA unpacking, doing all my washing, getting back into a healthy routine, then going to the gym, and then I'm going off again on Monday.
So so you're based in LA now at this point, but you spend most of your time traveling. So do you consider LA to be home now, or is it sort of just like a base where you bounce in and out of because that's where World Poker Tour is based?
It's an interesting question. My neighbor calls my apartment a very expensive storage unit because it's basically where I keep all of my clothes.
Right.
So my clothes and my stuff live in LA. And I do call it home for now, but Australia will always be home. That's like real home. Mm-hmm. But I haven't lived in Australia now for 6 years. So that I've been basing myself in LA, in between all of the bouncing around. That's where I anchor myself from. But every opportunity I get, I go to Australia, which is what I'm doing on Monday.
I think if LA is where you keep your clothes and where you go to do your laundry and get ready for the next step, I think that is your current home. I think that would be
yes.
And last time you called in, I think it was last year or a couple years ago we had you
We're
on
in
the
Australia.
Show. You mm-hmm. called in from Australia.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was up in the finals Queensland in Cairns. I remember I was sitting under like the tropical palm trees, and it was magic. I remember that. Yeah.
So, you know, it's One of the things that I would say that I've seen kind of change and progress through your time with World Poker Tour and in your role with them, I have seen you playing a lot more poker, not just, you know, being the anchor and reporting, but also I feel like anytime I see a tweet from you, or not anytime, but a lot of times, you're actually in action playing. So, you know, How did that really come about? Is this something new for you, or did you always dabble in playing? And maybe take us through a little bit of the life of Lynn Gilmartin, and are you going to become a professional poker player? Is that your new path?
I wouldn't go down that to that extreme. So I when I first started working as a host, you know, I was working with Poker News, that's when I started playing, because I had to learn this game that I was talking about, and I had been working in the poker industry. That's how I started in that realm, but it was from a marketing perspective. It wasn't as a player. So I started playing back then because I just needed to understand what I was talking about, really. And so I've always been playing casually for 10 years, and I love to play, but I really would only play, like, I probably play once every 2 weeks. I don't play that often. I would never say that I'm a professional, that's my main source of income, or I don't think I have the emotional stability to be able to ride that roller coaster as a full-time thing. I have so much respect and admiration for those who do. I'll leave that to my boyfriend. He does that. But, you know, I love to play home games. There's some home games in LA that I play in. And then in Mexico, when I go down, I'll play with Angel, with my boyfriend. He's got some home games he plays in. And then obviously when we're on tour, I love to play smaller side events. It's rare that I'll play big main events. So that's why you probably don't realize I play so much, because I'm not always in the bigger events that have live reporting attached to it, or that are streamed or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Small stakes. I keep it small.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So,
no.
You know, do you like, and I'm asking you this question. So we have a ladies event coming up this weekend, and this weekend we have a nice seminar on Friday, and then a ladies warm-up tournament that happens Friday, and the price point buy-in is $125. And then there's, like a larger ladies event on Saturday. There's single day events for the women, and they're ladies only. So do you ever participate in those? And if so, do you prefer them over others? And kind of, how do you feel about ladies events, and where do you see them going with the growth of poker?
Sure. So most of my tournament results are actually in ladies events. Funny, I won the EPT Barcelona ladies event, so I have an EPT trophy.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, though. So, yeah, I do play them. I went deep in the WCP ladies event last year. I think I cashed, like, 54th. I think they're great. I always have a great time playing in a ladies event. And everyone has mixed opinions about them, but that's also because everyone has mixed ways of feeling comfortable, you know. There's different ways that people can feel comfortable to join a game. And for some people, for some women, they feel safer to sort of warm themselves up if they're brand new to the game in what they would feel to be a safer environment with ladies. And that's great. So if that's going to accommodate more women in the game, then so be it. That's fantastic. And if some people don't enjoy that ladies event exists, well, they don't have to play them. So, and the men, and they can't. But I don't think it's, I think it's fantastic. I think anything that's going to encourage more women in the game is always a good thing. So bring them on. And I love that you have two to choose from.
Do you prefer, or do you have a preference as far as playing against ladies or gentlemen? Do you think that you have an advantage against one or the other? Or do you feel like it's pretty balanced across the board?
Sometimes I like to think that I have more of an advantage playing at a table full of men, because they don't know how to read women in life.
I agree.
It's definitely true that men do not know how to read women, and never have, and never will.
And never will. So, yes. So,
yeah,
it's good.
They have no idea what to do with us.
No.
But then with the ladies event, there's definitely a lot more of a laughter going on. It's definitely a lighter environment. It's a good time. You know, there's a lot of giggling and whatnot. So it's a totally different experience, really. But I can't say I love one or the other. It's harder to compare, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually a really good point, though. That's a good point that, you know, I agree with you 100% that I think that ladies have more of an advantage playing against men for that exact reason, because men have no idea what we want, no idea what we're doing. They can pretend all they want, but at the end of the day, they really have no clue, and they're never going to learn. So
no clue.
I think there is an advantage there, but you did bring up a really interesting point that when you play with ladies, it's
much more lackadaisical, right? Like the women are kind of laid back. There's a lot of camaraderie. Everybody's having a good time. There's a lot of chatter, as there would be when you get a bunch of women together in a room. It's not quite as serious, I think. Or if it is serious, it's just lighter, like you said. So that's a good observation, a nice way to put it.
Yeah, there's sort of less of this intention to try and intimidate each other. We know we're competing against each other, but still befriending each other at the same time and encouraging each other, which is something I played the ladies event. We had a WPT cruise just a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite funny. Like when the ladies event was on, just the poker room got a whole lot louder, everyone was having a drink and stuff. But then, and while we're all competing genuinely, because there was a Tiffany's bracelet up for grabs, so we were playing.
Nice.
Like, we really wanted to get that bracelet. But also at the same time, there was so much encouragement going on. For there was a few ladies who hadn't played before or hadn't played too much. And we were, there was a bit of coaching going on at the same time though, while we were teaching, while we were playing and competing. And it was just lovely. I really enjoyed that. It was nice.
That's nice. So we have a couple questions coming in on our Twitch stream. And one of them is the question, do you play strictly hold'em or do you play a variety of games?
Yeah, I'm strictly hold'em. Feel like I'm trying to figure, like, I'm still trying to get this one down, before I want to move on. So, yeah, hold'em.
And do you prefer limit, no limit, or you'll play either one as long as it's hold'em?
Limit drives me crazy. I much prefer no limit.
That's interesting. Why does it drive you crazy?
Because I feel like everyone chases so much in limit.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to get there on the river except me. So yeah. I kind of tell you the last time I played limit.
That's funny. It's kind of interesting because as I was coming up through the poker ranks, there wasn't a lot of no. The only time you saw no limit hold'em at all was tournaments. And even realistically, I feel like I'm going to be really old now, but it didn't even happen until much later. Like a lot of the tournaments were limit structured and you'd get a little bit of sprinkling of no limit. And now everything is no limit. And if you get a sprinkle of limit, you're lucky or you have a variety to play, but that's predominantly where everything has kind of adjusted and shifted to. And I would think that that's, not only is it the Cadillac of poker, but and following the World Series of Poker platform and, their outline, but also because people feel exactly like what you just said, which is it's annoying and it's tough and everybody's chasing and you don't have as much game. And so that's really fun.
Exactly. Not as much game. I love how you called it the Cadillac of poker. That's a nice line.
Yeah. So are you going to be joining us for World Poker Tour? Will we see you? Or are you still going to be in Australia? What are your travel plans?
Yeah. So unfortunately I'm not going to make it to Best Bet this year. I was there last year, but I'm going to be in Australia. So we have our very first ever WPT in Australia. And so, of course, I have to go there to represent.
Of course. I mean, it's your hometown.
It's home court.
I mean, that's a very wise decision by WPT to send you home to manage that. So that's going to be fun. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Safe travels to you. We look forward to talking to you soon. Please make sure you send pictures of you hopefully playing and winning and crushing and picking up more trophies, World Poker Tour trophies, as you are on your home turf.
Thank you so much. It's going to be an amazing event. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Good luck in that bounty event. Yeah, exactly. We'll compare trophies, right? I'm going to bring mine, you'll bring yours, and we'll have a nice picture, and it'll be a great time together.
I love it. Go get it.
Thanks Lynn.
Bye.
And there she goes, Lynn Gill Martin. She is the anchor for World Poker Tour on Fox Sports Net. As she mentioned, she will be over managing the first ever World Poker Tour in Australia. So she will not be joining us for our event here in October, but we will have Tony Dunst, several of the Royal Flush girls. In fact, next week, I believe Tony Dunst will join us next week to discuss and talk about kind of him coming in and what's going on. So look forward to hearing from one of the World Poker Tour staff members, crew, people
every
who
week.
Are very deeply involved with World Poker Tour now leading up to the main event. So for the next 4 weeks, we will be joined by somebody from World Poker Tour. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Johnny Fantastic, talking all things poker. All right, as we are rolling into a major tournament circuit, the World Poker Tour joins us. They kick off. Your first event is Friday of this week, yes?
Unbelievable. It's already here.
It's hard to believe that it is already here. So we have a very special guest, Tony Dunst, who will be joining us. If you don't know who he is the newest spokesperson for World Poker Tour. So you see him hanging out there with Vince Van Patten. They're doing all the analytics and talking about what's happening during the course of play. Also, he has almost $3 million in tournament earnings. So he definitely is not new to the poker industry, not just coming in as a commentator, but also has a very successful run as being a poker player. So please welcome to the show, Tony Dunst.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Tony?
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So I know we've had a lot of questions. People have been funneling in and asking things specifically about you, about your career, about, you know, your poker run, and why are you not just playing poker? Why did you decide to transition into the place that you are now? So maybe you can give us a little insight into that. But also, people really want to know, you know, you're this incredible poker player. Where did you come from? Like, how did you break into the business of playing poker professionally?
Well, I got started forever ago online. I was playing online poker before Chris Moneymaker won the main event. So I got a glimpse of an era where many players were very new to the game. So I was as well at that time. But if you're willing to put some work in and communicate with a lot of other players, and the players that I found that were the most helpful were on like online message boards and forums. So I kind of joined those communities and got connected to a lot of people who were, I guess you would say, evolving the game or thinking about the game and sharing their strategies publicly. And that really set me up well in terms of a network of people to go to get better at the game.
And before that time, before the advent, I guess, of online poker, that really wasn't a thing, right? I mean, the internet wasn't necessarily around or as common. So people didn't share those stories, didn't share those strategies in the online forums. You just had to read David Sklansky and Super System, and that was pretty much all you had.
That's exactly right. You know, there was those two classics and maybe a half dozen other books by various authors who had some tournament success. But overall, there wasn't that much material out there at the time. And then with the poker boom, there was this explosion of content, you know, whether it was online training sites, programs that people developed to analyze poker hands, the forum posts, all these various ways you could try and improve. And you know what, I'm almost 20 years into the game, and I'm still curious about how is it you improve as a player. So something I want to work on, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, because I don't want to fall off.
So what is your best source right now? If you were in, I think I'm stealing Allie's question for you, but if you were an aspiring poker player right now, what advice would you give to them, or where would you steer them for the best available information these days?
Well, I do content with LearnWPT alongside Andrew Lucky Chewy Wichtenberger and a number of other coaches who I have a strong amount of confidence in and feel good about the content I created for them. They also created a new platform that allows you to play through pre-solved decision points in poker hands, sort of a GTO trainer, the WPT GTO trainer, which should be a really interesting tool. And I also want to, you know, just say that I found the Run It Once coaches, particularly a few of them, you know, really, really helpful in the way they spoke about poker. So those guys were great. And then I have to give credit to a friend of mine, Mike Watson, who's been just awesome as somebody that I can still send hands to, you know, after all these years. And whenever he has a moment, he'll really, you know, talk them through with me. And it's just, you know, so helpful no matter how far you are in this game to have people that you can honestly bounce hands off of.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because sometimes, you know, if you think about, like, poker is a sport, right? So if you take this sport and you compare it to other sports, like say we talk, say we're talking about tennis, right? And you're talking about the greatest tennis player in the world. You're talking about Serena Williams. Obviously she has a coach, right? She doesn't just have a sparring partner. She has a coach. And you think, well, does she really still need a coach? I mean, how much better does she need to be? But I think that to your point of what you just said, being able to send information to somebody else and have them look at it from a different standpoint is really, really critical. And especially if it's a hand that you've been involved in and that you've played, because I think that, or for me, it's the case anyway, that sometimes you're in a situation and you play out a hand and you're in the spot where you have all of the emotion attached. You are right there. So sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to take the hand and look at it from an analytical standpoint and dissect the hand without removing all of the other factors that were in there, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Not to mention the things you thought you believed in the moment, whatever feel you had to the table, the person you're going to run it by will be lacking that and give you a more objective, sparse analysis of what really happened. So it'll be different, of course, and you'll still have that vibe, whatever you thought in the moment, but it'll still be really valuable to get somebody who's more detached opinion.
Yeah, I think that that neutral standpoint analysis when you run, and I think that that's why it's really important when people, you know, when you're in the game and you're involved in playing, running hands by people is one of the greatest coaching mechanisms and tools that you can have, because there's not always one right way, right? And when you talk about GTO, and by the way, that's game theory optimal. So if you're, when you talk about that, like the most optimal way to play a hand, sometimes you think you have it. And if you run it by another person, they shine light on some information or situational awareness that perhaps you might not have had. And so combining those things together, I think, is one of the most beneficial teaching tools that there is today in the sport of poker.
Yeah, and you know, like we're saying here, that is something that you just kind of want to keep working on over time, because everyone else is doing the same. You know, we're all considering how to get better at all times. You know, everybody speaks to, you know, working on their game. And then I think a lot of it kind of comes down to, do you actually follow through and sit down and think about it? I think a lot of people, how to put it, you know, there's this age of social media, and sometimes I think that people spend as much time advertising their study habits or what, you know, what a grindaholic they are, whatever it happens to be, as opposed to the actual time they put into the work. And it can be, you know, you have to resist that temptation, I guess, to not get distracted in this age of distraction. Mm-hmm.
That's grindaholic.
That's very true. People usually talk about all the cool things they're going to do instead of actually doing them.
So let me ask you this question. So when you're playing on a live stream, so versus, let's flip a little bit and go from commentating on a live stream to playing on a live stream or playing at a final table of a televised event, how do you, like, when you're preparing for that, do you go back and watch things that you, like streams that you've played in the past, or really kind of study the players that you're playing against, their past streams or their past final tables? Is that how you prepare for stuff like that?
Well, if I make the final table, I probably don't have time to go search up my opponent's final tables and actually watch the streams and review the hands. However, I'm in some group chats with other poker players, and when you make a final table, you'll often ask them, what are your reads on these players? Does anybody have anything useful? And sometimes you'll get some good stuff. But then after you play a final table that has been streamed, it can be very helpful to review that. And that's the series of videos that I'm doing for LearnWPT right now, are a review of all of the relevant situations I faced at the final table of the Tournament of Champions this spring. And that has been really helpful to review, and also just kind of interesting, because after a few months, you have some distance from it and you're no longer, you know, kind of like in it emotionally responding to those hands, and you're very removed now. And you're like, okay, what did I do? And what worked and what didn't work? And what did my opponent do? And oh, I didn't realize he had it at that time.
So when you review a final table that you just played, are you reviewing yourself, or are you reviewing more what the other players did and to try to see if your reads or thoughts were correct at the time, or both?
I am much more reviewing my own play, because what you want to prioritize are the things you can control, you know, which are your decisions with the information available during the poker hand. You like to think that your reads are on in the moment, but it's so subjective that I don't try and invest too much weight into whether I was correct or not. So when I'm watching these streams, I'm trying to evaluate the decisions I made with the information available most of all, but I'm also, of course, very curious about what my opponents were actually doing, you know, or if there was a big hand, you know, you're dying to know, was I bluffed or did he have it? Fortunately, at that final table, I don't think those were the kind of decisions I encountered, but there was definitely one where Ryan Tosic, who won an event at the Bellagio for us and is a very tough player, bluffed me with a 4-bet free flop, and when I found that out, I was like, no!
But it has to happen, right? If you don't get, if you don't ever get bluffed, you're calling too much, and if you don't ever get caught bluffing, you're not bluffing enough. So
yeah, exactly. So he gets to win them too sometimes.
Now, do you ever feel like if you're watching streams and you're picking up information like you're talking about, do you ever find it to be the case that you can almost be over-informed, right? Where like if you're watching somebody else and you're watching kind of like if say like you go back, like we'll take Rounders for instance, and you see McDermott and he's sitting there and he's rewatching and rewatching the same tape of the WSOP and he, you know, the final table and he's watching Johnny Chan and whoever else is Seidel's playing and he's keeps rewinding and watching and he's trying to pull the information from these players. Do you think it could be the case that if you spend too much time studying that, that you can that can be not as beneficial to your game as you would hope it to be? Like maybe you get like a false read or something or put yourself into bat. You like maybe you decide to make a decision based on that information that you've watched, which you wouldn't have normally made before.
Hopefully you don't overweight something you see as a sort of one-off situation from a player. I think if you're experienced enough, you know not to misjudge a player's entire repertoire or thought or approach to poker based on one hand they may have misplayed, for example. That can often happen. You're like, oh man, I saw this guy play his hand so bad. Like, now I'm at the final table with him. I know he's going to butcher all these spots similar to this. And that's probably not the case. You know, everybody brain farts now and then, or everybody misplays a hand now and then for reasons that are hard to articulate. But for the most part, they're kind of on their game. They're thinking through what they're doing. So you don't want to overweight when you see or misjudge when you see something like that from your opponent. But there is the opposite side of that where you watch somebody play and you're like, oh my God, this person is just blasting away in all of these spots. Like I can never fold against them.
Right.
And you just, at that point, if you reach a hand or a showdown where you have something of value, you just can't fold. You just cannot fold to these kind of people. And that's a really, really helpful thing to know so you don't get bluffed.
So you're not going to be joining us here for World Poker Tour, correct? You're not coming out this year?
I am not. I will be in Dusk Till Dawn in Nottingham around that time.
Nottingham.
That sounds
England.
Nottingham.
Delightful.
In England.
Yes.
WPT UK. I believe you guys will have the pleasure of Matt Savage's company.
Yes,
we will.
We will.
We will have Matt Savage.
So careful not to let him hustle you on some kind of golf course prop bet or something like that, but otherwise, you know, he's good people.
We're seasoned with that.
I'm gonna get him at Topgolf this year. I'm gonna come up with a couple trick shots.
I like it.
All right, you got to prepare for months for him. But then, if you got something, you know, let me know ahead of time. I'll play along. We'll set him up, and
you got it. We'll set him up.
Coming. Good.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tony Dunst. You guys, thanks again. Safe travels to Europe. We're sad. We'll miss you in Jacksonville. Maybe we'll see you next year. And if you're not making it to Jacksonville prior to next year, hopefully we see you before that.
Well, thank you, and best of luck with the event and everything you guys are doing down there, and I appreciate having me on.
All right, guys, that's Tony Dunst who leaves us. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Ali McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Johnny Fantastic, talking all things poker. All right, so as we are well underway with the World Poker Tour, we have a live stream getting ready to kick off here in the next few minutes. Right now, we have very special guest, the one and only Vince Van Patten, who will be joining us. He is the World Poker Tour commentator, also known for his incredible acting skills and for being one of the leading world-recognized tennis players, not just in doubles, but also in singles. And he is going to join us right now. Hey, Vince, how's it going?
Hey, Allie, great. How
are
you all doing?
What's going on, Vince? Doing good.
Yeah, me too. Feeling good.
I'm so happy that you're joining us. I got to tell you, so your new movie, 7 Days to Vegas, was just released. I was very sad that we didn't get to come out and see the premiere, but unfortunately it did not work out for us. But we watched it the minute it was released. We went to Amazon. So if those of you who want to check out this movie, it's pretty incredible. For those of you who are poker players, degenerate gamblers, just, you know, lovers of movies in general and life in general, this is a really fantastic movie, and Vince Van Patten really hit a home run with this. So 7 Days of Vegas on Amazon Prime. So tell us, you know, a little bit about this. So this is a movie that is something that happened in your life?
Yeah, you know, I used to have a poker game in the 90s, and the game got bigger and bigger in Los Angeles, just very big. And I decided to, this is inspired by my poker game. The interesting thing about the poker game was that it wasn't about the poker. It was about the bets and these crazy people I played with and the bets, the prop bets that we make. And one of the craziest prop bets I ever made was that I could walk from L.A. to Las Vegas in 7 days. And they all bet against me. And that's what this movie's about. It's like The Hangover meets The Sting. It's a comedy. And like you said, it's out on iTunes and Amazon. And it's in special theaters around the nation, too. But it is great. We got it done. And I think poker fans, especially, and gamblers will love it. Because it's fun, and it's funny, and it's a con movie. It's about hustlers. So I hope people see it.
You know, it's really, what's funny about that is you know, you say that and it's like, oh, it's about cons and it's about this and it's about that. But I feel like everybody who's listening to the station right now and all of the people that run in our circle and beyond our circle, right, it's a small but large group of people, and they can all really relate to this. And what I really loved about it is that it is a true depiction of what life is like if you are in
In the circle,
poker,
right,
or the gaming industry in any capacity. So one of my questions that I want to ask you is, I don't want to give any spoiler alerts, but there's something called the Doyle-Brunson Clause. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, that's in the film. By the way, this is inspired by my true game and some of the bets I made. Some of it's fictionalized because it is a movie. But I make reference to some of the great poker greats like Doyle and Amarillo and the crazy bets they made back in the day. Because I'm a historian of poker. You know, I've been doing World Poker Tour for 18 seasons, and way, way back I've been playing. And I love those guys. I love some of the cons and the hustles they were involved in. So when I created this and I wrote this with my partner Steve Alper, I wanted to put that stuff in. And by the way, I love the genre of poker movies and con movies, but usually they go to a very dark side, and it's about the poker and the big game. I said, that's not the world I know, because I grew up as a young gambler. My father taught me how to read the racing form at age eight and play poker, and I know of a different world of where there's a spice of life. It's about characters that are bigger than life, and the action, and the ups and the downs, and the roller coaster ride. And I said, if I ever write something, that's the story I want to write.
Yeah, I like it, and that's very cool that you, you know, change it from out of the dark basement into a little bit more reality. You know, there's always winners and losers, but it's a good time and it's a fun game. I have one quick Amarillo Slim story. One of the cons was, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but he bet somebody that he could drive a golf ball a mile or something to that effect. And, that you know, they work out the specifics.
I already know where this is going.
And then he takes them, they're up in the, you know, north somewhere in Minnesota or who knows, and he takes them to a frozen lake.
Exactly. I think it might have been Titanic Thompson originated that bet.
Maybe it was.
Or maybe Titanic.
And how did he get that name, Titanic Thompson? Was it from that bet?
Isn't that a great nickname for a gambler? But, you know, there was another one. Yeah, it is also, you could hit a golf ball a mile, and he takes him on a lake, a frozen lake, during the winter, and he can hit the ball a mile. Or hit it off the Grand Canyon. So that's another way to win that prop bet.
Oh, that's a good one.
But it's great. There's so many great bets along the years and what young poker players are doing today. And it's all in there in 7 Days to Vegas. So it's so much fun. But you guys got a great event coming up. We have a great event here on the World Poker Tour, the championship, the Bounty, which I'm excited about.
I know. You know, we are pretty excited about it, too. The Best Bet Bounty Scramble is always one of the highlights. It's one of the greatest WPT World Poker Tour stops that happens because it is completely different than any other event that you go to, right? So you get to COM. It has a really wonderful prize point buy-in. So it's a $5,000 buy-in. And then there are 30 celebrity bounties. So you knock any one of those people out and you get $2,500 on the spot. So if you knock out one bounty, you get a 50% free roll. You knock out two of them, you're on 100% free roll. And this is fantastic. I don't think there's any other WPT event that that does this.
I know. And I know you got great players, Darren Elias and Jonathan Little and Kelly Minkin and Maria Ho and Anthony Zeno back. So great field as always. And, you know, I just love Best Bet, you know, being with you guys. You have a great players party with all the good food and it's all free. So it's all a very exciting time right now.
It is fun. You know, there's one thing that I'm a little salty about, Vince, I got to tell you. I'm going to bring this up because I'm a little salty. So the last time I saw you, which was maybe about, I mean, the last time you were here in Jacksonville, my hometown where I could jump out on the tennis court and try to smack some balls around with you, we had a court time, and I don't remember what happened, but I think you injured your knee or something because I think you went for a run and you might have, you did something crazy, but you were unable to hit the courts with me. But I was very ecstatic about this moment. I was going to take my shot as being a brand new tennis player about 2 years ago, taking on the professional tennis player, 1979 ATP Rookie of the Year, 1981 defended John McEnroe. And there I was. I was ready to stand on the court with you and give you the whooping of a lifetime.
I am so sorry we had to cancel that one. I did get injured, but I'll tell you, I'll make a little prop bet with you on the tennis court. sight unseen, I will play you for $100. $100, Ellie.
With a frying pan?
I'll play with a frying pan. How about that? You need a tennis racket. I'll play with a frying pan.
You know what? Here's the thing. I've been around long enough to know how these prop bets work, and I'm about 100% certain I'm not taking that bet.
Vince is going to come out with a frying pan in his left hand and a tennis racket in his right.
Right. That's exactly
I used to make just for fun. We would make a little bet on it, but the player wouldn't be too good. But I'd play not only with a frying pan, but on roller skates. And it's tough to move around a tennis court on roller skates.
That's impressive.
I mean, that's...
I won some, and I lost some, and I fell a lot. So there you go.
I bet.
Impressive.
But,
so
let's get back to 7 days to Vegas. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy props, and that's what I love to do, and that's what I've done my whole life. And that crazy bet that, you know, who could walk from L.A. to Las Vegas in 7 days? You have to be 25 years old and be a triathlete or
crazy,
something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, so anyway,
these sound like the bets that Dan Blazarian and those guys make. So I have a question about prop bets. Are prop bets traditionally bets that come from a place where you just say, okay, we're looking for action and we want something that's ridiculous? Or does it come from a place where you say, I want to make a bet, but I want to make a bet that I think I can get the best end of the deal by like making the verbiage in such a way that somebody will take the bet, sort of like the frying pan bet. Like, I'm not going to take that bet because you could beat me no matter what.
I think it comes from when I make bets, it comes from I'm curious whether a person can do something. And by the way, if it's too ridiculous, no one will take you up on it, so you don't waste time with stupid things. Mm-hmm. But usually there's a line and an interesting proposition. Can this person run a mile at age 50 years old, and sees maybe 30 pounds overweight, can he do a mile in 7:30? So you just throw that out there, and then a person might come back and go, oh, well, you know, not 7:30, but 8:10. And now all of a sudden you're involved with a good prop bet, and then everybody gets to watch, and maybe you put a little money on it, and it becomes fun. So, but in my opinion, it's only interesting out of curiosity. And gamblers, you know, we all love to win a bet. It's always fun to win a little side bet. It's just action. It's just a little part of the day that makes it a little bit sweeter. And even if you lose, at least you had some laughs. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, it makes it far more entertaining.
Absolutely. Keeping them interesting, keeping them fun. It is fun. You know, a lot of them obviously happen on the golf course. It keeps the game fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
but you know what they said about the golf bets, and I used to play a lot of golf. I used to love to gamble. We had 12 of us, and we'd go off and, you know, two sixums, and everybody would have action with each other. But and I did okay in golf, but not that good. The best golf negotiator there ever was. And by the way, golf is won before you hit the ball. It's all done before you hit tee off on that first tee. It's negotiations because, you know, it's like a science. And I was never great at negotiations on a golf course. But guess who is? My old partner, Mike Sexton. With
yes.
the Southern charm, he's so brilliant. And Matt Savage is pretty good, too.
Yes, I was going to say, Savage is pretty good at it.
Right? So these guys are geniuses when it comes to negotiation on a golf course.
Vince Van Patten joining us here, commentator for World Poker Tour, American actor, also an incredible tennis player, ranked number 26th in the world in 1986 as a singles player. Your rap sheet is pretty long. I feel like I could sit here for an entire hour and talk and brag about how incredible you are. But, you know, your new movie, 7 Days to Vegas, has recently been released. You can find it on Amazon Prime or iTunes. Where else can we find this? Apple TV?
Yeah, I think video on demand everywhere now, and certain select theaters in certain cities, but basically video on demand everywhere. It's really going out there. Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times gave it a great review. We're getting great reviews. It's a fun movie. And like I said, it's like The Hangover meets The Sting. It's called 7 Days to Vegas. Look it up. Seven in numerical seven. And I appreciate the plugs and the time talking with you all.
All right. Thanks, Vince.
Thanks,
we look
Vince.
Forward to seeing you, and I'm hoping to bring home the title. As promised, we are giving away that $110 1010XL main event seat right now. So that's going to give you an entry into the 1010XL main event, which is happening January 13th. Tournament starts at 6 p.m. It will be in Jacksonville. We will register you right now. Remember, there will be 5 bounties. Knock any of those bounties out. You get $110 back on the spot. So we will take the 5th caller right now, 641-1010. 641-1010 is the phone number, and you will be picking up a $110 seat into our 1010XL main event happening January 13th. In the meantime, there are so many other things happening in Jacksonville. Don't forget, today is the final day of the 12 days of Christmas. It is a huge day in Jacksonville today. $2,300 high hands now through 10 o'clock p.m. All you have to do is be seated in a cash game, pick up a nice high hand, and you are heading home Christmas Eve with $2,300 additional in your pocket. Let's not forget that the poker room will be closing. They have special hours Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Boss man, tell them what that looks like.
Christmas Eve, we will close early at both locations at 6 p.m. and we will reopen Christmas Day at 4 p.m. so everybody can enjoy the holiday festivities.
So an observation of the holidays and hoping that you all are home safe and enjoying time with your family. Yeah, we're wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. Don't forget, as the card room does reopen, there are lots of high hands that are going on. You can check the website for more information. BestBetJacks.com is going to give you all of that information. I will say one of the most notable things is the football games that are happening on Sunday the 27th. So after you're wore out of all the Christmas wrapping and cooking and the kids and the festivities, and you're ready to wind down watching some football, the game of the day is going to be the Bears versus the Jags from 1 to 4, and then the Titans versus the Packers from 8 to 11. Don't forget, Bossman, run them through real quick. What does it look like when you are there during a high-hand game of the day?
So it's a high hand every hour for the 3 hours during the time of the game is being played, and that high hand is worth $1,000. To whoever makes that high hand. Also, in addition to that, whoever makes the highest hand during the entire three-hour period will win 50 times the total score of the game. So if they score 50 points total in the game, you win $2,500 on top of the $1,000 that you already won for the high hand of the hour. Very fun promotion.
Pretty exciting. And, of course, we will have a show on the 30th, so bringing you guys into the new year. But just to quick give you a spot to glance at, make sure you guys put New Year's Eve on your calendar from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. They have an awesome promotion every 60 minutes with the final countdown of 2020, giving you a high hand bonus. And this is good, remember, in Jacksonville and Orange Park for $2,020.
I
feel like it should be $20,200 because that would be more impactual for 2020.
$20,200?
Yeah, I feel like next time you guys should aim better.
We'll aim a little higher.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We are wishing you and your family and everyone else a very safe and happy holidays. We'll be back here to bring in the new year on the 30th. That's going to do it for us tonight. But don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Belew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss,
Dustin, and Country. I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table. Fold them, let them hit me right.